Hello, friends. Welcome to another program of Two Guys with Heart, with Giff Briner and Dave Colonen. These two fine Christian gentlemen will do their very best to bring encouragement to your faith. We all undergo difficulties throughout our lifetime. How do we respond, and what is the correct direction that we should take? Giff and Dave will give it their best shot to guide our lives through the work and words of Jesus. And now, here they are, Two Guys with Heart.
Hey, good afternoon, friends. Hey, it's Giff Briner here, another program of Two Guys with Heart. Me and my very good friend,
Dave Colonen.
Dave, my friend, we have a fascinating program for our listeners today. We're looking at the life of Jesus. We've been talking about how he's been leading us and teaching us. We've been talking about some of the do's and don'ts that we have to exercise in our life in order to excel. Well, let's try to follow that process if we can, because it's been very effective. We're getting lots of good comments about it. Jesus asked questions. If he wanted to know the needs and the desires of those people that were around him, he would simply ask. He would ask questions about their life. Interrogate your world. Insist on listening to the opinions and the needs of others. If you and I do the same thing Jesus did, we're headed in the right course. Almost nobody on earth listens to others, nor questions them. It's a master secret of success. Jesus asked questions. You see, once Simon Peter went fishing, he caught nothing. Remember that? When the morning was come, Jesus was standing on the shore. Jesus called out, "Children, have ye any meat?" That's written in John chapter 21, verse 5. He assumed nothing. He pursued information. What was their answer? Their answer was his entry point into their lives. He had something they needed. He had information. His question was a link into their future. It was the bridge for their relationship. He then instructed them, "Cast thy net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find." John chapter 21 reads that way. You see, information is the difference between your present and your future. Document the needs of others. Keep a Rolodex if you have to. Keep a notebook of their needs and desires. What are your customers' needs and desires? What are your customers' needs today? How about your coworkers, your friend, your family? What are their needs? Are you really listening to them? Do they really feel you are listening to them? Most employees feel that their bosses really do not hear their complaints. Most employers feel that their employees do not interpret them correctly. It's a communications thing, but learn to ask questions to make sure you have it right. Dave, I want to share a quick story with you, if I may. Quick story about when I was a young man. I was a teenager. I was a cook in a restaurant. We all did those kind of jobs when we were young. And
you're a cook?
I was a cook, yes.
What can you cook?
I can cook anything you name it. I learned to cook as a young man, and I enjoyed it. To this day, I still enjoy cooking. And I cooked in a restaurant. And I remember once there was a young man who would wash dishes. He was a dishwasher there. And that facility, the dishwashing, wasn't too far away from the cooking area. It was typically in a kitchen. That's the way it works. And this guy was, let's just say that he wasn't the most ambitious person in the world. And he liked fooling around and playing around instead of working. And he did that rather frequently. Let's let it go at that without saying anything too nasty. He wasn't a real good worker. And I remember one time I was just very, very, very busy when I was cooking up a storm. And I looked at him over there in that corner. And here he was just flipping a knife, sharp knife, just flipping it. Again and again and again and again, and I just kind of shook my head to myself, kept right on going, full speed. I was cooking up a storm. So I don't know, some 10, 15 minutes later, I finally got caught up, and I was able to take a little breather, and I just sort of stood there for a moment and said, "Oh boy, I'm finished." And there was my buddy over there in the corner. You know, I was about 18 at the time, and he was the same age. And there he was still flipping these knives. And kids will be kids. I picked up, he looked at me and said, can you do that? And I picked up a knife and I flipped it one time. I shouldn't have, but I did. I flipped it one time and said, yeah, I can do that. Just as I flipped that knife, ugly person, nasty disposition, walked around the corner and looked at us and smiled, just kept right on going. And I didn't think anything of it at the time. The very next day, the boss came to me and said, hey, Giff, if I ever hear about you two guys throwing knives at each other again, you'll be out of here.
Wow.
And I didn't know what he was talking about at first. I just sort of took it. It took a few minutes, and he walked away and left it go at that. And it hit me that this waitress, who was a nasty lady, nasty, just had a miserable disposition, she went and told him we were throwing knives at each other. And it hit me that that's what he was talking about. And so instead of him asking questions to try to find out exactly what was going on, he assumed that this elderly lady had to be telling him the truth and that these young teenage boys would only lie to him anyway. That's really a shame. He should have learned to ask questions, particularly on personnel issues. That's what this lesson that we were just talking about today is saying. Jesus had learned to ask questions, and he questioned everything that wasn't clear as a bell to him. He wanted to make sure he had it right. He was a great communicator, and that's the one I'm trying to share with our listeners today. That's what Jesus did, and that's what we should do. And instead of assuming the wrong or the incorrect, let's ask questions before we get critical. It's very important. Do not falsely accuse anybody. I just cited an example that happened to you, to me, 50 years ago, and I still remember how I felt about that, being falsely accused of doing something that I didn't do. Jesus was wise enough to understand these things happened. You have any thoughts on that, communicating and clearly, David?
Hey, when I went to Bible college, we decided we'd find four guys and have a quartet. We gathered in the practice room at college after supper every night. We were learning how to sing. We were learning how to pronounce. We were learning how to find a part. I remember when we became full-time singers and moved to Pennsylvania, we all said to ourselves, you know, we have never asked anybody about how to improve. How do you improve your, just by singing together? It doesn't improve yet. And they said, well, why don't you go down south and visit Leroy Abernathy? He is the instructor for gospel music. Whoa! We got on the telephone, said, Leroy, you have room for the couriers? And he said, man, I'll find room. I heard about you guys. And he reached into his date book and said, if you can come this week, I'll take you for a whole week. And I'll teach you so much that you'll be able to record a record in my home, in my studio. We said, oh, that'd be great.
That's wonderful.
So we went to his house. And he took us one at a time. And we had to give him 1 hour. So when it came my turn, Dave, it's your turn. Got an hour with Leroy. And I was the bass singer. So he was trying to help me find how I could get my voice lower. He told me some things that were just, I just couldn't fathom what he was telling me to do. He said, Dave, you're going to be a better singer if you don't sing out of your throat anymore and you sing out of your nose. I said, what's that? You got to project your, he said, any preacher that has a bad throat preaches wrong. He preaches through his throat and not his nose. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, how do you do that? He said, well, you got to act like, I don't want to offend anybody, but you got to act like a hair lip. Uh-huh. And when you sing through your nose, like they talk, mm-hmm. you don't use your throat. You use your nose, and you can scream all day through your nose. You'd scream 1 hour, and your voice would be shot.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be the bass singer, if you'll learn how to just back your voice a little bit away from that, what is that sound of a person who can't talk right? If you can just pull it back a little bit, instead of doing this, you just reach down there and reach and let it come through your nose instead of your throat. you'll be a singer.
Boy, did that change our group?
Wow.
We were all going around in the bus all day long, singing through our nose. He said, you won't be sick anymore. You won't have a sore throat. You won't be, people won't be saying, hey, that guy's using his voice too much. Listen to him, he's losing his voice. He's preaching through his throat. So that saved. I went 20 years without ever getting a cold. And singing every night in a concert somewhere in America, running my full head off with a group that had to make a living. And we sang every night and two times on Sunday, sometimes three if we could get away with it. And, you know, if you're asking questions about your kind of work, what you're doing with your job, I mean, if you're a preacher, you need to learn how to preach through your nose at times, especially when you're getting a sore throat and you don't know what to do, and you want to back away, you want to cancel, you don't have to do that. If you start preaching through your nose and banging away a little bit, you can talk forever when it comes out that way.
How about that?
Maybe that's new to everybody. That was absolutely new to me, but I've used it for 50 years.
How about that?
And it kept us in longevity with singing instead of having to retire when you're 50. We got to wait until you can get to 80 if you sang right.
Yeah.
So if you're listening today, let me hear you. Get out on the porch. I'll get out here in the front, and I can hear you from your house. Just get it through your nose and get out there with your voice and show us what you can do. You think they're all out on their porch?
Wow. Hey, that's some powerful information, Dave. You had my undivided attention. I was listening to you very carefully.
I've never talked about that since the day I went to Abernathy's house.
No, is that right? No, I never heard of anyone suggesting that we sing.
They lined up his street with buses that were
really
sitting at his house waiting for his information that says, how can we sing better?
Yeah, well, I guess. I knew I've heard that name before, quite honestly.
Leroy Abernathy.
Yeah, I didn't know how it was used.
He died.
If you said who it is, I wouldn't have known, but I knew the name. He died since.
He died. Yeah. He was the part of the Happy Two.
Oh, yeah.
He had another friend he lived with or grew up with or something, and the two of them could sing four-part harmony.
Is that right?
And they went to every concert. The Happy Two walk out and sing like a lark, sing like four people. And walk away saying, hey, you guys are the best I've ever heard.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, hey, I thought we were the happy two.
When do you want to start with your voice?
Yeah. You'll have to give me some private lessons. I certainly don't want to start at this moment, that's for sure.
You don't need it, Gif. You got that low voice that just penetrates everybody who listens.
Well, I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking through my ears. I don't know. Maybe I don't know how to make these various sounds. Let's get back to what Jesus was always doing as he was teaching to these people. There's some very powerful words, and those examples that you give, Dave, are just quite stirring. But Jesus, you know, another concept that he always used was trying to be truthful. Jesus always answered people truthfully. Let's just share a quick sentence or two about that. You know, someone has said, tell the truth the first time, and you will never have to try to remember what you said. Truth will always outlast the storm of slanderers and false accusations. Never, 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 never misrepresent your product to a customer. If you're selling something, stay on the up and up. Carefully build and forge before your family the picture of a total truth. Always the total truth. Nothing is more important in life than believability. When you lose that, you've lost the essence of flavor, the essence of love, and the essence of success. Jesus was truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man come unto the Father but by me. John chapter 14, verse 6. Boy, I remember that verse so clearly. Studied that in Bible school when I was a youngster. You see, Jesus had integrity, and it intimidated the hypocrisy of the whole communication umbrella. They reacted to his purity. Honesty is a force. It will destroy mountains of prejudice and fear of a single blow. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and thou shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall not make it good? Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says it that way. Truth is the most powerful force on earth because it cannot be changed. Jesus was always truthful. That's, to me, those are common sense thoughts. And as a reminder to what Jesus had always taught us. Any thoughts on that issue, Dave, of always being truthful?
Hey, when you learn how to do something as true. When we got a bus driver, he drove a tractor trailer, and he drove it like stop and start. And when he came into our group, we was trying to sleep. He got the wheel at midnight, and he started this through the gears and yelling at the lady and paying the ticket. And you know, and I went up to him and I said, "Tom, you'll never make it as our driver." I said, "I want you to pull up to the lady that you're going to pay the money to. I want you to pull up." And I want you to take the receipt, and I want you to pull away in such a way that you don't wake any of us up. And if you can't do that, you lost your job. Well, the next time we come down, I was back in bed just to see what I was going to do. And man, he came in there real slow, real quiet, and paid the lady. He whispered to her, and then he put it in gear, and he went, that's it. Hallelujah. We got a driver for life.
That's wonderful. That's a great story. I like that. That's a great story. Well, that's truth. That's telling him straight out. You knew what the expectations were. You delegated a task to him. You knew how it had to be done. And you did your very best to steer him in the right direction. You're a good leader.
Right.
Well, that's great. And that's what we're talking about, the leadership concepts here. Jesus stayed on the center of his expertise, too. You talk about leadership. Do what you do best, and that's what Jesus was all about. And that's what he was trying to tell us. What do you love to do? Well, whatever that might be, what do you love to talk about? What would you rather hear about than anything else on earth? What would you do with your life if money was not a factor? What you do is what you should do best of all. What you really like, that's where you should be headed. Your joy is determined by doing what you love. Jesus associated with fishermen. Remember that? He talked to tax collectors, doctors and lawyers, and religious leaders were regular in his life. But he never wavered from his focus. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and his willpower, who went about doing good and healing, all were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is where you'll find that information. He knew his mission. He stayed focused. I really believe that broken focus is the reason men fail. The only reason men fail is a broken focus. In other words, they're not paying attention to what's important. Some people take jobs because they are convenient. We're close to home. I heard a little story. I'll share this one with you. I read this not so long ago. One man told me that he had spent his entire life working in a job that made him feel miserable. "Why have you worked there for 27 years then?" I asked him. And he said, "Well, it was only 10 minutes from my house," he replied. "In 3 years, I will receive a golden watch, and I don't want to leave too early and miss my golden watch." What you love is a clue to your calling and your talent, and Jesus knew this. We should all do something we really like.
If you're like most people, there's probably a chapter of your life you'd just like to erase. Get it out of the way, or it might have been as far back as high school or college, and or it might be really recent. We go through all that all of our life. A lot of things we'd like to forget. We've all made bad decisions. We can look back and laugh about it. We carry memories that'll never leave, and so. You know who you need to avoid in the future. You know how to live your life. What do you do about the things that you've already done? What do you do about that? Or what are you doing to save yourself from all that? I don't know how much time we have. I've totally lost track of
Oh, go ahead. You have an interesting story. Go ahead and share it.
There's,
we'll take time.
There's times that people want to do right, but they can't. They can't find in their life forgiveness. I have a brother who's married, and his wife called us on the phone and said, "Don't ever call us again. We can't forgive you for what you've done to us." I said, "What in the world have we done to you? My goodness." And, you know, that's been 17 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen my brother in 17 years.
Wow.
And I've asked for forgiveness.
Uh-huh.
And some people can't find forgiveness. I'm not going through my life and going to try to get to heaven thinking, wow, I haven't talked to my brother in 17 years. I don't even know what he looks like anymore. That's terrible.
That's terrible.
That is awful. And if you know the answer, please call me on the phone, write me a letter, tell me what to do. Maybe if I won the lottery and could give her $1 million, she'd say, "Hey, Dave, let's talk."
Yeah.
But forgiveness is something that is easy when you get in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
God has the way of bringing out of us something from our heart, not from our mouth, not from our head, but from our heart. And when we speak from our heart, God deals with us in ways that we could never touch.
That's right.
And I'm thankful that in my own way, I've found forgiveness for that whole deal. And if we come to the end, I don't know what God's going to do about this lady who has ignored us for 17 years and won't let us talk, write. She just has taken us out of her life forever. And our family's very close. We know how to talk to each other. We don't have an enemy in the world in all of our family. That's the only enemy I've ever had. So if you have any answers for me for that, speak up. Speak up, Giff.
Yeah, well, hey, there's no easy answer to that, is there?
There is. I've looked, I've prayed, I've believed, I've dreamed about it. I've laid in bed awake all night thinking about how am I ever going to get out of this.
Yeah.
So you must be the same way. And the people who are listening to us today, you got to hold on for dear life.
Yeah.
You got to just say, "Oh, God, help me. I can't help myself anymore."
Yeah. Well, I've found through life that forgiveness is really easy, but forgetting is almost impossible. We're always taught to forgive and forget. And forgiving, I can forgive. I'm sure there's more than one person did me wrong, and I forgive every one of them. Not a problem. But
do I need to forgive you for anything?
No, you've never wronged me in any way, at any time, for any reason, and I don't expect that you ever will.
I'm willing to if I've done wrong, then you're wrong.
Yeah. But then also, we're taught, don't apologize for something that you don't know that you did wrong. You know, we're often tempted, at least I am, tempted to say, "Hey, I'm sorry if I did something wrong, please forgive me." You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to apologize for only mistakes that you know that you have made. A blanket apology for nothing has no value. So we have to be sensitive to all of those things. And what would Jesus do in situations of this nature? That's what we have to ask ourselves. And you have a way with trying to share those things. It proves that you are human. If you're faced with some of these issues yourself, David, you have guided others your entire life, and even you, as wise as you are, can confess that, you know, you have some difficulties too, that sometimes we have to try to deal with them and think of how would Jesus handle these situations. He was a very, very powerful man who was able to see through things differently than the rest of us. And we have to be able to develop that concept ourselves. Forgive these shortcomings that we see not only in other people, but in ourselves. David, we've exhausted our time once again. Maya, it goes so quickly, our time together. Do you have any closing thoughts you'd like to share? We must say goodbye to our listeners.
I do. From the book of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 13, it says, He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross.
Wow.
And that's my suggestion to you today. Get on their knees together and we'll ask the Lord to nail our problems to the cross.
Hallelujah. Thank you, my friend. Bye-bye for now. We'll see you
again
soon.
See you next time. Bye-bye.